Podcast with Jake and Ash.
Welcome to the Media Guide, your one-stop shop for all things entertainment. Or at least the things that we find entertaining. My name is Ashton. My co-host's name is Jake.
Sup?
And we like to talk party. About... We like to party. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are just surrounded by champagne and balloons. Women?
Cake?
Yeah, definitely cake.
Ice cream? Moon bounces?
What's a moon bounce?
Like a moon bounce.
Like it's a like... bouncy castle?
Yeah, moon bounce.
We called them... moon some moonwalk.
You called them moon bounces, and now you're pretending like you called them something different.
I don't think
so that you can it. Sound cool.
What? Well, yeah, bouncy castle sounded pretty hardcore.
Bouncy castles are fucking awesome, first of all. So
yeah, anyway, I'm not gonna disagree with you, so there's no dynamic conversation there because I agree.
Okay, fine.
We are a podcast. We like to talk about movies, TV shows, video games, anything that we find entertaining during the week. At the beginning of the week, which is right now, we like to kind of go over the past week's news. That's kind of how this is going to go. So I usually have to start this, which is awesome, which means I have no chance for you taking any of my news.
Maybe.
So maybe I should look over my news and say, what would Jake want to talk about and steal it? I won't do that.
I'm pretty confident that we don't have any of the same news because I compiled my list approximately 2 hours ago.
Cool.
So.
And nobody knows when we're recording compared to when it is published, so that means nothing. Good job. Thanks. My first bit of news is that Prometheus 2 has a title.
I saw that.
Yeah. It is called Alien Paradise Lost.
Yep.
So I guess it is an Alien prequel sequel?
I don't know. It's a pretty terrible name.
So, I mean, there's not much news on here, but I did think it'd be interesting if we did, you know, kind of mention, what do you think it's going to be about?
Paradise Lost.
So you have not seen Prometheus?
I have seen Prometheus. Exactly. I don't know. It's going to probably start to lead into something to do with Alien.
So you think it's a tie-in, like, into the original?
Well, in the same article, I did read that he has said that, like, by Prometheus 3 or 4, it should be, like, brought full circle to Alien.
Okay. Because he came out and he was like, this is not tied into the original series, when any 5-year-old watching it would say, hey, isn't that one of those... You don't even have to know they're called xenomorphs, but it's clearly an alien. There's clearly a queen alien statue in one of these chambers from the original movie. I mean, there's just no getting around it. So just, you know, before you die, Ridley Scott, just make this one big universe, because it's fine. It's you know, it's beautiful looking. You got some good actors in there. You've got one actor who's just ahead right now, but, you know, he's pretty good. So that's... I don't know. What is Paradise Lost? What does that mean?
It's an epic poem.
Okay.
By Milton. Basically kind of biblical about the fall of man, you know, first temptation, stuff like that.
Okay.
So who knows what will happen and how he'll translate that to aliens.
Well, there are some theories that the Prometheus had obviously some ties to Jesus. And if you remember in the beginning of the movie, that there are these giant white, I don't know, godlike figures on Earth. And the theory is that the reason they finally turned on us is because we killed one of them, and that he was basically what we consider Jesus now. Because their, you know, technology, their miracles that they were probably able to do, you know, back in the way back day, that was seen as godly. So... it's interesting that he's kind of might be continuing with this biblical theme going forward, which is fine with me. It doesn't really change my opinion. I personally didn't like Prometheus. I thought it was a little too long.
Didn't like Prometheus either. So yeah.
If it goes more the alien route, more of instead of like the theology and just trying to explain things, and you know, if there's not a lot of morals that he's trying to throw out at us and he just kind of goes back into the horror genre, then I'm fine. I mean, the scene, I will admit this, there's some great scenes in Prometheus, like the scene where she basically uses a surgical machine to take out a alien squid baby. That was pretty terrifying to me.
I'm not going to remember anything you're talking about. I remember almost nothing about that movie.
Tell me one thing you do remember.
I do vaguely remember that scene you're talking about.
Okay. Well, it was one of the more tense ones.
Pretty sure everyone dies, pretty much.
Yep. People ran in straight lines while a ship was falling on top of them instead of, you know, taking like 5 steps to the left.
Yep, and Fassbender was extremely blonde.
And extremely without a body.
Yeah,
by that, the end of it.
Yeah.
And Guy Pearce was extremely old.
See? Didn't remember Guy Pearce being in that movie.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's about it on that one. Not a lot of news, just the fact that it's getting a new title. Seems to be going the biblical route as well. And I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm sure it won't be groundbreaking. I think he's already done that.
Okay. Totally. I'm more excited about The Martian, his next film coming out.
The Great Martian book. Himself?
No, the movie The Martian comes out next week.
Okay.
Honestly, by the time this comes out, this podcast comes out, The Martian might already be released.
No, this podcast comes out on a Sunday. Everybody knows that.
Okay.
Then Sundays.
This comes out next Friday.
Yeah.
The Martian. But it's going to be really good. I think we've talked about it before. We'll talk about it more later.
Sure.
But that's Ridley Scott's next film. It's supposed to be good. Moving on to my next news. It seems as though they're about to start rebooting Men in Black.
Really?
That is what I read. And they're planning it to be a trilogy. And that's about all that was in the article. Will Smith will not be involved. I guess they're starting from scratch. Whether or not it'll be the same kind of action comedy sci-fi kind of thing, or if it'll just be straight sci-fi or what, who knows. But that's the plan that I read.
So they're not bringing back any of the original actors?
It didn't sound like it from the article I read. It was it seems like they're definitely in the preliminary stages, but it is in progress.
Did you hear the rumors back in the last year, I think, that they were planning on doing a crossover with 21 Jump Street?
That was in the article I read. It seems as though that is not going to happen. That seemed like it was more of a conversation between people and the emails that got hacked with Sony. More so than like actual talks. It was probably just some random idea that was thrown out.
Okay, if that's fine, let's just, for fun, which one are you more excited about? The idea. Are you more excited about a straight up reboot, new actors, maybe a different tone, or a 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover?
Are they having to infiltrate like Men in Black school? Because that might be hilarious, actually.
See, that's where I'm with. I mean, they almost tried to reboot Men in Black with RIPD, if you think about it. Like, it's the same tone, just different actors and kind of a little bit of a different premise. But it was the same movie, if you think about it. And it didn't work. Even with great actors.
One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
But you had Jeff Bridges,
okay, here's the thing about Jeff Bridges.
Oh, excuse me. Here we go.
Jeff Bridges can be an Oscar winner and fantastic, or he's Nicolas Cage, just older, is what he is, who makes a few better decisions than Nicolas Cage and far less decisions than Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
But when he's bad, he is horrible. He is so bad in RIPD. And he is so bad in that movie. Did you see Seventh Son?
Nope.
Well, don't, because it's awful. Okay. And honestly, I was watching it because Jeff Bridges is in it. I hated it because Jeff Bridges is in it. He was the worst part about that movie, and it was a terrible movie.
Are you the one who hates The Big Lebowski?
No, I love The Big Lebowski.
One of our friends hates it.
I really, really like Jeff Bridges when he's good. But he also is fully capable of being horrible. He can overact so badly, and it's usually when he has to do an accent.
Yeah.
Or he's playing some kind of off the wall kind of character.
And that's probably because of the Big Lebowski, like the stigma that
it's possible. No, I mean, I'll probably get some shit for it, but I really do think there are a lot of parallels between he and Nicolas Cage, because Nicolas Cage can be a great actor.
Sure.
He just makes a lot of really, really bad choices.
No, he just really, really wants money.
That too.
He wants to buy crazy like dinosaur skulls for his house.
Like, he's been really great in some things, though.
Well, back to my point. I think that they should go with a crossover over route, not only because I just think it would be more a better chance, maybe, but there was a lot of hype when that, maybe it was leaked, maybe it was nothing more than two, you know, assistants saying, hey, wouldn't it be funny if, but it grew some viral hype, and it made me start thinking, you know, the end of 22 Jump Street, when they parody themselves saying, look at all the different things we could do, we're going to send you to medical school. I mean, that's like 10 minutes that I was just, you know, crying, laughing, thinking about, oh, they're going to flight school now, and, you know, 29 Jump Street, they're going to be...
Seth Rogen appears and yeah. No one notices.
Exactly. So that's the kind of universe that, I mean, you just said it yourself in 5 seconds. They're trying to infiltrate the Men in Black school, which, you know, maybe at this point they're seasoned vets at this kind of thing. And they're like, oh, we're up for anything. Let's go. And then they walk through the doors and all of a sudden an alien walks by and they're like, nope, let's leave. This is a terrible idea. And that's how you kind of get us back.
We get to see Channing Tatum try and pretend like he's an alien or something.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be great. Yeah, those movies are really, really good.
They stand up, or they, I'm sorry, they hold up, and they surprise the hell out of me. Yeah. One of the best, we will do an episode in the future of best sequels, and that's on there. I mean, because it was like the complete, to me, it was like the complete opposite and the correct way to do Hangover 2.
Right. Well, the thing is those movies, even the first one, is completely self-aware of what it is.
Exactly.
So that's the big thing that makes it work, is the sequel is also completely self-aware of what it is.
Yeah. And the ridiculousness of the idea as a whole.
Right.
Of a sequel. Anyway, we're going off on a tangent of that. My point will be made now. I don't want to see a reboot. You know, I can already imagine they're going to just try to replace Will Smith. I'm terrified that Jaden Smith's going to be in it.
No, that would be bad.
That would scare the hell out of me.
Actually, I changed my mind. As much as Will Smith makes those movies, like, Tommy Lee Jones is just as good.
Oh, it's the dynamic. So you have to find now two people to have that same chemistry.
And Josh Brolin kind of nailed it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw him in Men in Black 3, but he was great.
Yeah, he did fine on that. I don't blame him. I blame they kind of jumped the shark a little bit. And they got rid of Tommy Lee Jones, unfortunately. Like, as well as Brolin did, you still got rid of half of it.
Yeah. I will say I didn't hate Men in Black 3. It wasn't great, but I didn't hate it.
Well, maybe it should have been on your bombs that you want to defend. I don't think it was that bad, but...
It wasn't that bad.
Okay, well, cool. Well, my next piece of news... I'm sorry if I'm stealing it, because I thought you would have brought this up, but John Wick 2 starts filming in the fall.
I actually did not put that on my list. I was about to, and then I didn't.
That's how it happens.
I did read... that the first one was co-directed by two people, and this time it's going, I don't know their names, but this time only one of them is directing. I don't think that's going to matter much as long as one of them comes back.
Yeah, it was originally directed by David Leitica. I don't know, it's a weird name. And an even weirder name, Chad Stahelski.
Okay, the Chad guy is the one coming back.
Yeah, and the better news is that Keanu's coming back.
Of course Keanu's coming back, but have you seen John Wick yet?
I think both are coming back, because I'm reading something that says, we are thrilled that Keanu, David, and Chad have re-teamed with us.
I think they might both be coming back in some capacity, but only the Chad guy is directing this time. I read that article today, so...
Okay, and no, I haven't seen it yet.
Still need to do that.
Yeah.
You got a full weekend ahead of you. VOD, man.
I do. I still haven't seen Kingsman. I had a full week. I was on a business vacation kind of trip, and I should have, but I just ran out of time.
Just after this is over, go grab couple Sixers, some popcorn, and just sit on your couch. I'm looking at your TV right now. It's wanting you to watch John Wick.
Okay, so just so we're clear, grab a couple Sixers, so like 12 beers.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Just grab, you know, 12 you got, beers.
You got two movies to watch tonight. Six beers a movie.
I also have a whole podcast to edit, so... That's what I need the couple Sixers for, is to get through that. That's why you're listening to such great qualities, because I'm always doing it hammered. That's my excuse. That's my built-in excuse.
Well, we're recording hammered.
Yeah, we record hammered, we research hammered, and I definitely edit hammered, but I do publish sober. I don't want to have any typos out there. I hope I haven't had any typos.
Probably think we're joking, but we do drink pretty heavily while we record.
Yep. Yep. I try to edit out all the
all the wine pours.
Yeah. So, I mean, without giving away too much on the first one, I mean, are you excited about a sequel, or do you think this is a movie that doesn't need one? I know in the past you talked about a prequel, talking about a specific mission would be really cool. And maybe this movie does a flashback of that. But do you think that this, do you think that they can recapture this, or is this just a money grab?
I'm fully on board. I think John Wick was probably one of my favorite movies of last year, I guess, when it came out. One of the few movies, it was good enough for me to buy on Blu-ray, so I don't often buy movies, but I wanted this one.
Especially nowadays.
Right. So I'm fully on board. I think there's a lot of world building in the first one that they can build upon.
Yeah. Like a certain hotel.
Yeah, and you'll see what I'm talking about, how cool it is once you finally do watch it. But it's a very, very cool action movie. There's not a lot of plot, so it's not like they have to recapture the magic of plot points and twists and stuff, because there's none of it. It's all a right. Dude wanting revenge for his dead dog.
That's well, they can't it. Kill the dog again.
Right, but they don't have to. And like I said, I think a good way to go is probably that do a prequel. I mean, I don't think they've said at any point what the plot's going to be to this movie. So, it could be that prequel.
Who knows? I'll give you two movies real quick. Similar vein. And I want to see hear your reaction to both of them. Taken.
Yes.
And The Transporter.
I love Taken. I haven't seen The Transporter in so long. I can't give an honest opinion on that.
Well, the reason I bring him up is
I love the first Taken. Second one has its moments, but it's not perfect.
That's the question. And the reason I bring it up is I personally thought Transporter 2 kind of kept the magic. It wasn't a great, like, it wasn't as good as the original, but I still was excited during it. Jason Statham still. And the point I bring it up is you say there's not a lot of plot. It's just good action, an interesting premise, you know, a great lead. And Taken does that. And then the sequel, to me, was a great departure from what the original gave us. So I'm wondering which way this could go.
Well, I think the difference, I can't speak on Transporter just because I haven't seen it in so long. I do think these are really good comparisons.
Yes.
I think they're completely fair. I think the difference between Taken is they just repeated the plot for I haven't seen the third one, but they've just repeated the plot.
I
haven't either.
I didn't bother. I'm sure something else was Taken.
I didn't hate Taken. Taken 2. There were good parts about Taken 2. Some of the action was really good.
Did you like the part where the daughter was throwing grenades on rooftops in the middle of whatever European country that was?
I don't remember it that well. I just remember there being certain parts that I liked okay. I left the movie not going, that was terrible. I left the movie going, eh. Do I think John Wick 2 is going to be as good as John Wick 1? Probably not, but it depends on how they go. I think if it spends a lot of time on this certain hotel I've told you about, it could be really fucking cool, because honestly, they don't spend a ton of time on that place.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a cool idea. I've told you before, I think that could be a fucking awesome television show.
Okay.
Just based off that hotel. So if the movie focuses on that aspect of this world, I'm in. I think it could be great. And I don't think they don't need to repeat the plot. It doesn't need to be a revenge thing. It could be that impossible job that he completed. It could just be he's got a new job and spends a lot of time dealing with badasses in this hotel.
So. Does Keanu, and you, this is back to the transporter kind of mentality, is he like charismatic at all in a way that, like, does he talk a lot, or is he just kind of an action person?
He doesn't talk very much.
Okay.
Gives a lot of death stares and just kind of overall frightening, but he does have a couple of moments where he does talk, but he's very quiet.
Is there
so it,
a lead woman in the first one?
I wouldn't say a lead.
Like, is he dragging her around the whole movie?
No.
Okay. The reason I bring it up, I could see that being a way they go. I don't know what this movie is about. I don't know what John Wick's about. But the point you say, don't go revenge again. Make it like a kind of bodyguard kind of movie where he's like,
he wants to be pissed.
Yeah. So
I don't need to, because this movie never, like, he's in a world where, like, the fucking cops know he's an assassin, and they're like, you working again? And he's like, no, I'm just sorting some things out. And they're like, all right, see you later.
Bye, John.
Yeah, it's bye, like, Mr. this guy, people know who this guy is. He's a stone-cold killer.
Okay. All right.
So I just want to see him doing that. Like, he's really, like, I mean, he's going after his dog, but there's not a lot that's morally good about this person. He's a killer. That's what he is. I mean, they do a good job of making you sympathetic for him, but he's not like some great person, you know?
Yeah, we could also do this in a future episode, like worst sequel tropes. And usually, I mean, recently, I think we've had like the threequel or whatever. The third one has this problem of like introducing the sidekick character who's, yeah, or the Bourne. What's the middle one? Ultimatum or Supremacy? Which one's the middle one?
Supremacy is the middle, Ultimatum is the last.
And introduces What's-Her-Face Styles or Julia Styles.
Right.
Like that, I couldn't stand that in the movie. I really like the Bourne movies, you know, and he has a mission that he's trying to find out something, but I guess you have to add something to make it different. And the addition of her always irked me a little bit. So I could see that happening in this movie. I'd hate if they introduced like a younger person.
That's like, kind of the thing I don't want them to do. Like, because the big female in John Wick is kind of an adversary.
Okay.
Not someone he's dragging around trying to protect. I don't want to see him protecting someone. I want to see him on a mission, and there's not anything keeping him from doing what he feels like he needs to do.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Transporter 2 had that kind of plot, if I remember correctly. I haven't seen it forever also. But we can move on from that. Just the fact that there is going to be a John Wick 2, I thought that would excite you. I'm sure you already knew, but that was according to comicbook.com. So
yeah. No, that's a good one. I can talk about John Wick all the time. I love that movie.
Cool.
Okay, next on my list, seems as though John Goodman has joined the cast for Kong Skull Island. Okay. So they're building up a pretty solid cast there. We have Tom Hiddleston, we have Brie Larson, we have Samuel L. Jackson, and now John Goodman. And yeah. I think I've said before on this podcast, I think John Goodman's one of the more underrated actors in Hollywood.
Sure.
He's pretty great in most of the things he's in.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. So, I'm trying to think of bad John Goodman films. I mean, he was great as Fred Flintstone.
Like, even in bad movie season, I think he's pretty good in it.
You'd overall be really hard-pressed to find him phoning in a movie.
Yeah. And he's in a lot of movies, so that's saying a
lot. If I'm wrong on that and you're listening, you're going, geez, I mean, have you seen whatever? Then feel free to write in. We're always checking our Twitter, and we love to see reactions to all of our, you know, unfounded opinions. Because, again, we are hammered. So everything we say is just, you know, off the cuff. But feel free to write in. Our Twitter is at Media Guide Pod, or email. You know, I read emails all day, so I'd rather read emails from you guys. And our email is mediaguidepod@gmail.com. So it's really, really easy to get in touch with us. And we are very on top of it, because we do this for you guys. So let us know how wrong we are about John Goodman. But joining the movie, great. I need a trailer, because all I've heard is a lot of positives about the cast. You know, none of that sounds bad. The idea of it leading to a mashup with Godzilla, also great. Theme park, okay, that's fine with me. I need a trailer, because if this is going to be at all like Peter Jackson, and I mean that it's in the ridiculous, then I'm going to be turned off pretty quick.
I think, well, first of all, there are a lot of good things about the Peter Jackson movie. I think there's a lot of stuff that's added to it that's unneeded. And I think if you rewatched now, I think you might agree with some of that stuff. There's a lot of good about it.
When you say good, do you mean Jack Black? Do you mean the double T-Rex fight? Do you mean the giant bug scene, which scared the hell out of me?
The CGI is great. I mean, we have Andy Serkis playing King Kong.
Yeah. You know,
Andy Serkis is the king of motion capture. He's great.
The King Kong of... I see what you did there.
Okay, yeah. But I think that they... Universal has these rights now.
Yeah.
They're in the process of building a gigantic attraction at Universal Studios. They need this movie to be successful.
Yeah.
They're going to want to market that. People are going to care way more about going to Skull Island if Kong Skull Island is incredible.
So does that mean... That makes me nervous, because does that mean we're going to see a lot of moments like, man, imagine that in real life. Like, imagine if you... This is what makes me nervous. Imagine if you could go down the Skull water slide.
I don't think necessarily that's what we're going to see as much as they want. You know, Jurassic World, for instance, was hugely successful. I think that probably did a lot for the Jurassic Park area of Universal Studios. Probably.
The only reason I'm going to stop you, because I disagree, that's a parody on itself. It knows it's a park, where Skull Island is not it's not an attraction. So,
but my point is there's not a lot of rides none of the rides, even the main ride, has nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah.
Technically. And the Harry Potter rides only sort of go through, I mean, we have the Gringotts thing, but like a lot of it isn't movie moments that like, oh, I wish that was a ride, besides the Gringotts thing.
I was about to say, that's a great example. And do you not think that was kind of included in the movie for, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, this would be a great roller coaster, let's build it?
I don't really think so, but you know, maybe, but I don't think that's the way they're going, because from the sound of it, it's more, I've read about this park, and I think it's more about immersing the person into this attraction, because from what I read, their idea is that as soon as you go through the gates, you know you're in trouble, whereas most rides, it kind of starts out kind of calm, and then all of a sudden, oh shit, there's trouble, and then you do the ride portion. That doesn't seem to be the way they're going with this attraction, so I just don't think that they're going to be making this movie just to promote. There are better ways to promote an attraction than spending like $300 million to make a movie, you know?
I hope so. Because, you talk about Universal taking over. What I'm worried about is I think they've had such success with the Harry Potter stuff that they may be looking and saying, this is where the real money is. You know, getting people to come to our parks, our attractions, you know, word of mouth is telling them they got to be here. You're missing out.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think they know where the money is merchandising and sequels.
Yeah.
To get a sequel, you got to make money. You got to make a good movie, period.
But you don't think this is a sequel?
I don't think so. I think it's a reboot.
Okay. I'm only trying to be an objective.
No, you're fine. You know, you're fine. This is a good conversation. Maybe I'm just hoping that you're wrong, but I think with the cast they're assembling, I think it could be cool. Because I think there were a lot of cool things about King Kong. I just think, first of all, it was about 30, 45 minutes too long.
Exactly.
And I think that had a lot to do with the issues in the film. But there were a lot of really cool things in that movie.
Yeah, I was going to say this. I will, if anybody's listening and over the past few weeks and you're like, man, Ashton's pretty pessimistic. It's not true. I'm realistic, unfortunately. You know, watching movies my entire life and kind of knowing as much as I can about the industry, I get it. Like, I know how things work. I'm never rooting against a movie unless you're Pixels. and that I am rooting against you, and I hope it fails miserably, because if there's
it did.
Yeah. So that's the only movie I will root against, but I'm all for, even to an extent, a reboot. If it's this kind of reboot that brings in a younger generation to enjoy a classic that people way before us liked, and then we kind of got to enjoy, I will support it. But until I see a trailer, I will not be very optimistic. So that's where I'll leave that.
My hope with this movie is that because it's called Skull Island, I'm hoping the whole movie takes place on the island. And yeah. They say bring in King Kong over to maybe the sequel.
Or that's maybe what the I'm Godzilla fight.
Right. I think that there's so much cool stuff on that island that you don't need the New York part.
Or what about this? What about Godzilla 2 happens? Godzilla dies. Everybody's sad. Because remember, at the end of Godzilla 1, everybody cheered as he's leaving this like totally destroyed city. That was kind of weird.
Right, but they also kind of know that they all would have died if it wasn't this savior monster.
Thank you, Monster Jesus.
Only some of us died because of you.
Thanks for not being Superman, destroying the
only
whole city.
Only hundreds of thousands instead of millions died.
So we're probably all radiated by that fire breath you have. So Godzilla 2, Godzilla dies because he gets caught under the the Brooklyn Bridge, and they shoot him with missiles, and Matthew Broderick's sad. Uh-huh. Kong, Skull Island, Kong dies because he falls off the Empire State Building. We still have a mashup where they fight, and now we have zombie King Kong and Godzilla.
Yeah, that's probably what's
how about
gonna
this?
Happen.
Mecha Godzilla
and then,
versus
and then out of
parkour
nowhere,
zombie.
Out of nowhere, Daryl Dixon comes out with his crossbow and ends
it shoots him right between the eyes. Yeah!
Walking Dead fans are everywhere rejoice.
Yeah, everybody
and the world
splooshed.
Implodes.
And then it leads right into Rampage and The Rock takes over. God, why are we not running Hollywood? Okay, if we were running Hollywood, we would say that this is not a good idea, and which is my next piece of news. We talked about this series earlier, but now I want to talk about how it's being transferred to TV. Have you heard that Taken is getting a prequel series?
A television series?
A TV show on NBC.
I think that really leads right into our topic conversation that's going to happen today, because a lot of that's happening in television nowadays.
Okay.
I think out of some of the choices they have, might not be bad.
We might talk about this later in the week.
Now, my problem is that all of these shows are turning into crime procedurals.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Serialize that shit, please, please, please. And it could be awesome. But it's on network TV, so they're not going to. Because they have to get 22 episodes out.
Yeah, I was going to say that we may talk about it later in the week, but TV is famous for being a copycat league.
Yeah.
And you'll see genres just happening. And it can be fun to an extent because it means you're going to get a little bit of competition and hopefully the best rises to the top. But sometimes you'll just get what you just said. And it's just wave after wave of kind of just dreck. And I think that's what this is exactly. I think it's another procedural that they said, well, how do we rise above? Oh, we'll throw Taken on top of it,
mm-hmm.
and make Liam Neeson's character, who in the movies, his name is Brian Mills. And I don't even remember. Is he a CIA? Is he just a secret agent, like generic? Or is he a CIA?
I think he worked for the Spec CIA. Ops or something? I can't remember who he worked for.
And he has a special set of skills. We get that.
Yeah.
So here's my question, and we'll talk later in the week about a show that probably should have gone this way in Gotham. But do you think that this is a show where he is learning these special skills? Does he already have them? Is he already married? I mean, this isn't like him in high school. Like, how prequel are we going?
My issue with all these shows is that it's so much easier just to say, oh, this guy's top of his class at whatever, and then he starts solving some crimes with some, can't see my fingers, but finger quote badass fight scenes.
Jake's missing all his fingers, sorry.
It's network TV, and the badass fight scenes are never badass.
Yeah,
they just aren't.
No.
even on Arrow, I've heard a lot about the choreography and the fight scenes on Arrow. I think they suck, and I think maybe Daredevil proves that they suck.
In comparison, yes, I agree.
But
I think it was just an expectation thing. I think we saw it and we were like, whoa. I wasn't expecting a lead actor to be doing a lot of his own stuff, and it just kind of surprised us. So
yeah, point being, could it be cool? Yes. Will it be cool? No, because it's on network TV. If this went to cable, it could be very, very cool, but it's not. So what we're getting is a procedural crime of the week kind of show is what's going to happen. I can almost guarantee it. And it's disappointing. I think it could be cool if they decide not to do that. And we saw it with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What about 24?
I never watched 24.
But that was a season long, right, great and idea.
So Lost was like that. Heroes was like that for a while. But tell me another network show that's kind of succeeded since those shows being like that.
Not Gotham.
Not Gotham.
But I mean, my 24
Agents
thing
of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going that way, and yeah. I think it's gotten more successful since they went that way. But it started out as procedural, and even the Marvel fans were turning on them, and they're like, oh, fuck, maybe we should do something different, is probably what happened.
I think if they can somehow recapture any of the magic that 24 gave us, because, I mean, in 24 can show you don't have to have a young, hotshot lead. I mean, shit, right. This is 24. I'm just thinking about it. I'm going back in my mind. I'm like, this is a guy with a family who works for the government, who has crazy missions.
We had Prison Break same right around movie. That time, too. The first season of Prison Break is top-notch TV. And I think what happened is all the good shows like that started getting picked up by cable networks. Okay. They can do more. They can be more violent, more, you know, obscene to an extent, and I think that's they have more creative freedom, and I think that's where those type of shows have started going.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that a lot more in the next episode.
Yeah. So gut feeling though, succeeds, fails?
I think it makes it at least one full season.
Yeah, I don't really know how that stuff works, but I think it doesn't make it to a second season.
I think it definitely gets picked up, and I think it makes it at least one full season.
Is the word taken enough?
Might be. Those movies were pretty successful.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to hear.
I think that names are really powerful on network TV. Give people things that they recognize, they're more likely to tune in.
Smart.
Yep. Okay. So next on my list, kind of keep along the same lines of reboots and such. Sounds like Sigourney Weaver will be appearing in the new Ghostbusters movie. So now we have
really?
Sigourney Weaver, Bill Murray, and Ernie Hudson will be making some kind of appearance in this movie. And is Dan Aykroyd making an appearance? Isn't he producing or something?
No, he's just making Crystal Head Vodka. No, he may show, sure they may walk by a bar and he'll be like,
I think Aykroyd might be involved in some way. Now, I read that Bill Murray will not be reprising his role.
Okay.
Like, I'm pretty sure this is a completely different universe from those Ghostbuster films. But he will make a cameo.
Okay. I am in the vein that I don't like reboots shoehorning in old characters. I think
I don't think they're playing themselves.
No, I just mean even bringing them in, like Star Trek, well, I guess it was the same character, but bringing in Leonard Nimoy, I guess it worked for that story for the new rebooted Star Trek. But other than that, I can't think of other times where a reboot brings in an old character and it really added anything to the film other than the audience going, oh, okay.
What
like about the Johnny Depp thing.
What
in
about
20...
Johnny Depp in 21 Jump
Yeah,
Street?
That's one. But that whole movie was a parody. So I think that was right. Even a parody of the fact that people shoehorn in.
Well, what makes
actors.
You think this movie isn't going to be along those same lines? You don't like Bridesmaids, right?
I thought the scene that everybody loved, that just made everybody laugh with the trying on the dress stuff, I almost wanted to just walk out. That turned me off a lot.
For me, the best part of that movie is Kristen Wiig on the airplane.
What is she, drunk? I've only seen it once. So.
She's drunk.
It wasn't terrible. And I'll say this. If you're trying to say...
I am a fan of Bridesmaids. I'm going to say it.
If you think that might turn me off of this new Ghostbusters idea, I'm 100% on board for this. I didn't want a reboot or a Ghostbusters 3 in the same universe. I personally think Ghostbusters is in the category of just let it be Ghostbusters. It's fine. It's a great movie. Watch it again. It still holds up, in my opinion. It's got a crazy soundtrack, but whatever. Let it be. But a reboot with a twist, I'm fine with. You know, let it be a whole new thing. And if you bring in the original characters, don't make them like, oh, we used to do this. Man, this is hell on earth. You know, and wink.
Right.
You know, make them just random people. That's fine. Make them the Stan Lees. That doesn't matter to me.
From what I've read, they're not playing the same characters. They're just going to be... It's probably going to be a short 20 seconds. Just, it's those guys, you know? I'm okay with this movie being made. I love Kristen Wiig. I think she's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And Melissa McCarthy, I think she plays the same character in every movie she's in.
Female Chris Farley, yeah.
But she does have some comedic talent, and you've seen it in movies. I don't know if you ever saw This Is 40.
No.
But her scene with Paul Rudd, Leslie Mann, her scene in that movie is probably the best scene in that movie. She can be incredibly funny.
I think she, to me, no offense to her, I think she's in the same vein as Kevin James. Like, it just doesn't do it for me. And it's not because they're both overweight. I mean, I get that kind of comedy. It's just, I just don't think they're that funny.
I think that she's just gotten so successful at playing this character. Why not keep doing it and making millions, you know?
Yeah.
But she can be very, very funny when she's not playing that same... She was funny in Bridesmaids, but then started being the same thing in every movie, and that's where she started getting on my nerves.
Do you know anything about the other two?
The other two, we have Kate McKinnon from SNL.
Okay.
The other girl's from SNL, too. I don't know her. I haven't watched a lot of SNL in probably... I don't know. Since Will Ferrell was on it.
Yeah.
But I did watch the, like, 40... I don't think the other girl appeared in the 40-year anniversary episode. She might have. Let's see. What's her name? Her name... Yeah, this is really great stuff. Hard-hitting stuff. Her name is Leslie Jones. I don't know anything about her, so I can't say a lot about her. I do know that she... On IMDb, she is very, very, very far down... Oh, Chris Hemsworth is in this Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Dan Aykroyd does appear on IMDb anyway.
Well, here's one thing that makes me nervous, and this is my realism coming in. I'm hoping they're not really like going after the old cast and very publicly announcing that they're going to be in it because they don't have confidence in this new group. And if that's the case, again, show me a trailer and show me the energy that they're going to bring and the style that they're going to go, because they're clearly clearly a comedy. I mean, that's
okay. Here's my opinion on this. They probably are not very confident in this movie being successful because it has taken a beating ever since they announced a girl version of Ghostbusters. The internet has killed it ever since. They will never give this movie a chance.
Women can't act. Let's be honest.
That's exactly what this is about. Women, they don't want women rebooting.
We want them back in the kitchen, not in front of the camera.
I really enjoy Ghostbusters. I don't know what is so sacred about this movie that it can't be remade. It never had that appeal to me, but I get it. For some people, it is. So that's the whole thing, is there's no way this movie's being successful if they don't find a way to bring these people that did find the original Ghostbusters sacred. And I think that's where these cameos come in, because Bill Murray was adamantly against doing another Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
For a while. They got Bill Murray to come in for a cameo. You know, maybe that starts to change a few people's minds. Well, if Bill likes it, maybe I'll check it out. You know, okay. And I think if anything, giving him 30 seconds of screen time, giving Sigourney Weaver 30 seconds of screen time is a marketing device to the people that have been bashing, because this movie has been bashed on the internet. There's nothing they're going to show that's going to change the mind of some of these people on the internet.
Except for maybe a trailer. Trailers have a lot of power. And what will upset me is if these old actors are like 50% of the trailer, when in reality, in the movie, they'll probably be 5 seconds, which is fine with me in the movie. I don't care. You don't have to showcase
them. My hope is they don't show them in the trailer, period.
Well, again, you're talking the marketing point. I bet they will.
That's true.
It'll be like this Sylvester Stallone at the end of... And I know he's a bigger player in it, but that's what grabs you at the end of the...
No, you're probably right. Expendables 1 did kind of sell you with, oh, Arnold and Bruce are in this too, but they have like 20 seconds of screen time.
And I was talking about the Creed movie because I couldn't remember what it was called.
Sylvester Stallone then?
Why?
What? You said what? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, I said... Did I?
Did you? I don't know.
You said maybe. Schwarzenegger.
I'm drunk. Who knows what we're talking about?
Yeah. I'm Ashton. That's Jake. Here we go. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, my next piece of news, we got to move on, is this saddens me. I'm talking about old characters that are in new movies, and I don't know why. Hayden Christensen may return in Star Wars.
No. I have to hang up. I have to go.
Jake throws up a lot.
As soon as you said that
nervous.
Name, I started to cry. No.
So this is great. Not only could he be an 8, so if you hear an 8, you think,
wow, he super died, kind of.
He was super white in an Eggman in Return of the Jedi. Spoiler alert.
And then he died, and they burned him.
Yeah, he was totally burnt.
Like with his mask on. Why did you put his mask back on to burn?
Because he was really, really ugly. He was super pale. And they were like, wait, he's not James Earl Jones? That's odd.
Wait, this guy's white?
That's why Luke Skywalker was like, it makes no sense. But, so you think in episode 8, he could be coming back in a flashback. It's not crazy. You think, don't bring back an older actor, you know, an actor to like represent Darth Vader in his later years, but bring back Hayden in a brief flashback, that's fine.
If they're gonna do like ghost Hayden, then that's with Obi-Wan or whatever. Maybe Luke dies and we get a fourth ghost.
Oh god, have you ever seen, I think it's how it should have ended, I think, did a great video on Luke sees Obi-Wan as a ghost and Yoda, and he's super excited, and then he sees Qui-Gon, and he's like, he shows up and he's like, who are you? He's like, don't worry, I pretty much set this all in motion. And then Darth Vader shows up, except it's the old Darth Vader, and then it turns back into young Darth Vader, and he's like, hey guys, it's so good to see everybody again, oh my god, Mace Windu, you're here. And then it turns into all the children that he killed.
Oh god.
I mean, it's terrible. But if you forget about it as the movies go on, that Anakin Skywalker or Hayden Christensen
is a horrible, horrible
murdered horrible a bunch of children, and he really is a villain. He's a monster. So
you're
again,
a monster. Wait, I have a question. Because what does he look like before they added Hayden Christensen to that ghost thing?
It's just a guy. It's just like it could
be. I can't find an old version that doesn't have Hayden Christensen or all that terrible crazy CGI that they throw in randomly in the middle of movies with just like a little lizard dude walking in front of the screen. God, that's so terrible. When I was 8 watching it in the theater when they re-released it, I was like, this is fucking sweet.
Yeah. Oh, look it's at not, that. Oh, look at that.
It's really not.
No, it's, really, it's terrible.
Really bad.
But in the original cut, it's just a guy. It's like, it might have been George Lucas's like dry cleaner for all you know. I mean, they just kind of brought him in, and the point is, you're not really supposed to know. You're just supposed to know it's like a father figure. So right. When they re-released it and changed it to Anakin, I'm sure Luke was like, who's that guy? That guy's He's younger than me. What's up with that long hair? That's weird. I mean, that'd be like if they showed Obi-Wan as Ewan McGregor. He'd be like, Yoda, who are all these other ghosts around you? Like, what's the point? Okay, back to the topic. This is where it gets sad.
Flashback, wait, it gets worse?
Yeah, because a flashback is understandable. You go, okay, maybe Darth Vader or Hayden Christensen as a Jedi hid something, and now we're trying to get back to it. Maybe that's part of the story. That's fine with me. But he's also filming for Rogue One. So we're getting young Darth Vader, I guess. But it still would have James Earl Jones' voice, though, right?
We do know that Darth Vader is going to appear in Rogue One. I've heard that many times.
Okay.
Because Rogue One, if I'm not mistaken, is about the people trying to steal the plans that allow them to destroy the Death Star.
So where does Hayden Christensen come in? I mean, there's no way they'd hire him just to fill the suit.
I don't know, unless they're doing flashbacks. I mean, maybe they would. What the fuck is Hayden Christensen doing nowadays?
Jumper 2?
I don't know, man.
Are they making that?
Who knows? That's weird.
Yeah, so...
They're just going to bring him back, because I found out recently that apparently on that cartoon, Darth Maul isn't dead.
No, he has robot spider legs.
The fuck?
It's actually...
He was super dead. He got chopped in half.
Yeah, but people get chopped up all the time. Remember, the lightsaber, it carterizes immediately.
Is that a thing? Is that what they said?
That's a thing. That's why when people get their hands cut off, it's no big deal. Except for the one guy in the bar. He bled in A New Hope. But it's kind of a...
That seems a little, inefficient if it carterizes it. You know, when you're trying to cut down people in the heat of battle and, like, a big war. Think about all the people that are going to live
because you carterized their immune. I think they're just supposed to be disarming people, literally. Like, dishanding people. They're not really killers. They're just peacekeepers. So that's kind of the point.
Fine.
I'm just telling you. I mean, I know... Fine. I'm not a Jedi. I don't know for sure.
I don't know.
But if I was a Jedi...
This is good Star Wars talk.
I feel good about it. I'm still excited for the new movies. I
am too. I'm fucking stoked about that. I'm going to build my Lego TIE fighter after we hang up.
You're so lucky that you don't have anything to do after we hit end.
I'm going to finish off this bottle of wine and build a TIE fighter. It's going to be great.
Man, your life is fantastic.
It's not bad.
Okay, so the good news is, I mean, I don't think Hayden's going to ruin the movie.
He very well could.
But what if they're like Jar Jar Binks might be coming back as an emperor?
Well, then they would just be like, Jar Jar Binks is coming back, so don't worry so much about Hayden Christensen, because this is way worse.
What if it was just him killing Jar Jar? Would we then be like, you know what, you killed all those children, but...
But you did kill Jar Jar.
You pretty much, yeah, you righted the wrongs.
I think we're probably breaking even here.
All right. You got any more?
I have one more. It's really dumb, and you're not going to care. But,
Great lead in.
Ryan Adams recently covered Taylor Swift's 1989, and it's fucking sweet.
Is this when I'm supposed to, enter a clip of this?
Yeah, let's play the Ryan Adams version of Taylor Swift. It's really good, man. I don't know what else to say about
it. What is 1989? Oh, is that that's Taylor Swift? That 1989 is a good year?
1989 is the year of her birth, also the year of my birth.
And my birth. God, we've given away so much of our lives in this podcast.
It's her new album that came out with all these hit songs where she's become the biggest pop star in the world. And yeah, I'm going to be honest, it's a really good pop album as far as pop albums go.
Man, you are...
I don't care.
Whatever, you have a girlfriend, you don't care.
You're absolutely right. I really don't. And this Ryan Adams cover, I love Ryan Adams.
It's okay, great. I'll admit this. You texted this to me earlier in the week. I barely looked at it because I saw Taylor Swift.
I tweeted about this. If you ever check our Twitter, I did tweet about this that
day. I don't know how to tweet.
I know you don't.
Yeah, so here's the point, though. I thought you said Bryan Adams redid this. And I was like, interesting, yeah. Bryan Adams is coming back.
The summer of 89.
Yeah, seriously, he's like, she stole my idea. So, where is that on YouTube? There's got to be a parody already. So, I hate that song, the 89 song.
What song? There's not an 89 song. What
is the fuck is there? About. Okay, is there not a song that goes 1989 was a good year?
No.
I'm gonna send this to you, listeners. I'm not crazy. There's a song that says 1989 was a good year, and it's a pop song. And I didn't think it was Taylor Swift.
Her songs that have come out on off this album are "Shake It Off."
Okay, I know that one,
which is awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. What's that other one? It's Blank Space. I got a blank space, baby, and I'll write your name. It's a good song. It's probably Taylor's best song ever. Style, which is also pretty solid. And Ryan Adams' version of Style is legitimately like a great song.
So he did the entire album.
He covered the entire album. 1989 is not a song.
Why is he not getting sued?
Because Taylor's fully on board with it. Check her Twitter. Cool. She's so fucking excited that he did this.
You love Taylor Swift songs. You love Taylor Swift Twitter. Let's just be honest. I love Taylor Swift.
I'm fine admitting that. First of all, Taylor Swift is a great pop star. And 30 years from now, we're going to be like, man, Taylor was cool, man.
She was cool.
You guys have this shitty pop star. We had fucking Taylor Swift in our day. Suck our dicks. God. Okay, that's terrible. That sounded way worse than how it went through.
Did that somehow sound better in your mind?
I don't know.
We'll do this. Okay. We'll sick Anakin Skywalker on him and you won't have to worry about him anymore.
That's fine.
By the way, since I have editing power, I'm inserting the 1989 song I'm talking about, and everybody listening will probably turn the podcast off because it's terrible. So I'll just do a short clip.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't listen to a lot of pop music.
I may have the year mixed up, but I know what I'm talking about because I've heard it a million times walking around. But enough about that. We talked so much about a topic you thought I wouldn't care about, which I don't, but before we go on, any of the previous topics we had, you know, we try to keep these pretty short, but did you have any extra thoughts on any of them?
No.
Not really.
I think we just thought I'd like you to edit that part out.
Yeah, that's fine, but I'm not. So,
shit.
And your mom listens to this. That's why this is great.
I don't think she does. I don't think my mom knows how to work podcasts.
Podcast, is that a fishing term? Okay, so I want to go on, as we like to do at the end of every one of our episodes, I only want to do one this week. Listener mail, do you have one that just jumps out, or do you want me to give one?
I have a pretty good one.
Okay,
we talked about The Martian a little while ago, so it's good timing.
Martian
at Media God Pod, what are your predictions for the upcoming movie The Martian? So,
well, you take this. You've read the book.
The book's awesome. One of the best. It's a complete page turner. I haven't had a book engross me this much in a long time.
You know what really makes a good page turner?
A movie.
When you can't read and you just keep turning the pages, hoping that it'll start.
Hoping there's a picture coming up soon.
Hoping to God. Or maybe it's a flip book and you're flipping it so fast that the little guy moves from the left side of the page.
Or maybe there's some buttons on the side that if you push them, it'll read it for you.
Oh my God. Do they have that? Yeah. So tell me about what you think about the movie. Because obviously.
Do you know what the movie is?
I've seen the trailer.
What the book is?
I don't know what I don't know what a book is.
That's fair. I forgot about that. I think that they did a really, really good job casting. There's a few weird things, like the Indian guy, Venkat Kapoor, is played by, I can't even pronounce his name, Chiwetel Ejiofor, the guy.
You did really good with the first name.
Yeah, well, I read it a lot, because they talk about him a lot.
So they didn't change his name?
No, he's still Indian guy, but he's being played by not an Indian guy.
By Etifor?
I'm okay. I think he's a great actor, so I'm okay with him being cast in the movie, but I was a little about them not casting an Indian guy. But other than that, I think the casting was knocked out of the park. I don't know if you've seen the cast list. It's amazing. I think the whole time I was reading it, I was like, fuck, this would make a great movie. And I didn't know they were making a movie until after I read the book and I texted all my friends, said, hey, you guys should read The Martian. And our friend John responded with that cast list for the movie is awesome or something like that. And that's when I found out they were making a movie. So I've been on board with it being a movie since I started the book. And I think it's going to be great. And I'm excited.
Cool. Well,
it's right there under Star Wars for my most anticipated films of the rest of the year.
Here's why I'm excited for a couple reasons. One of them being that one of our listeners has written in. This is from McBurger. He says, Media Guide, The Martian, in all caps. Just read the book. It's a fantastic, interesting, light, and easy read that only took a couple days. He's very hyped to see the movie. It will be one of the first sci-fi movies in a long time that actually stays scientifically accurate all the way. So, as a movie fan, I don't really care about that. The fact that it's scientifically accurate, just make it a good film. Give me a lot of good drama, some decent action, and good characters. And it seems like that's what they're going to be doing with this movie. The one thing that really worries me is I've seen so much of it already in the trailer.
And you have that. You have.
Well, I'm worried about a lot of it. And I'm hoping that the movie expands on a lot of it. And
okay, here's the thing. You know the plot. Yes. Guy's stuck on Mars. That's the plot. Shit, okay. It's Castaway on Mars. That's what it is. But this guy is—he's an astronaut, so he's basically a genius.
Okay,
you have to be really fucking smart to be an astronaut, especially one that goes on a mission to Mars.
He's like super, super smart.
Yeah, so he has to figure out how to live on Mars for a while until he can be rescued. So, but they really don't give away a lot in the trailer. Like one of the key things in the trailer, they're like, he's talking to his family or whatever. He doesn't have a family. That's not him. That's not him talking to his family. That's like a big part of the character. Like that has no influence on him wanting to. It's complete survival instinct. He has no one he's trying to get back home to. He doesn't have a wife and kids. That's a different character's wife and kids.
Whoa. Well, spoiler
so
alert.
That's just tricky marketing.
All right. Okay.
So I think that, first of all, I think they did a great job marketing it. I think they've at least shown a decent amount. It's very, very funny. Mark Watney, which is Matt Damon's character, is, there were several just literally laugh out loud moments while you're reading this book. And it looks like they're going to capture a lot of that. And I know you don't like reading reviews, but I couldn't help it. They're pretty good so far. And a lot of people are like, because, you know, we talked about Ridley Scott. He's not been great as of late.
Nope.
Sweet rhyme.
And we're done.
Yeah. It's a lot of people are like, all right, he was due a good one. This one might be it.
Okay.
So,
you have very high anticipation.
Yeah. I'm worried that I'm giving myself too high expectations, but I think it's going to be really good.
All right, I'm going in with some cautious optimism, which I don't know if that's a word, but we're going with that, and I think it will surprise me. I haven't read reviews, but I get a feel for what people think. And one thing that sucks about these great movies is reviews come out so early. Like these big movies, they come out like 2 weeks beforehand.
I don't know if it got shown at like festivals or they just did a lot of pre-screenings. Here's the thing. When reviews start coming out that early, the studio is confident in that film.
Oh, yeah. It's like the exact opposite of Fantastic Four, who would not let a review come out till the
day. Because when they're not
that
confident, they put huge-ass embargoes on those. Yeah. Like, no, you're not releasing a review until the day before.
Absolutely. Well, I agree. I don't think it'll be a bad movie at all. I think there's too much going for it for that to happen. But I think that's going to do it for this episode, unless you have anything else.
Nope, that was it.
Okay, well, later on the week, we kind of teased it earlier, we're going to be talking about all the new shows that came out last week. There was a lot. Apparently, this is like the fall season's kicking off, and there's a lot of premieres. There's a lot of season premieres for shows that started last year. So we took a crack at the ones we were interested in. That's kind of how the show works. If we're not interested in it, then we're not going to talk about it. If you have any in particular that you want us to talk about, feel free to write us in. Jake, you want to give them our contact info?
You can tweet us at Media Guide Pod. You can email us at MediaGuidePod@gmail.com, or you can visit our website at MediaGuidePodcast.com.
Yep. And again,
and we still are really close to that Facebook, guys.
Yeah. We're just like, we got to find the submit button. It's on there somewhere. So we'll continue to work on that. But feel free to write in, and if you want to listen to any of our previous episodes, all of them are found on iTunes. Or if you don't have an iOS device, or if you have a friend who doesn't, tell them about Stitcher, because we're on there too. And honestly, that's the biggest thing that we're asking of anybody listening. Tell your neighbor, and I just mean the person sitting right next to you right now on a bus. Tell them. Say, hey, Media Guide, check it out. You may hate it, but at least, you know, you're doing your part telling somebody about us. So that's our number one goal right now, is just getting the word out there that we exist. Like the guy in The Martian, we're still out there.
Yep.
Is that what that movie's about?
Bring us home.
bring us into your home. Wow, this is getting weird again.
Your eye home. Get it?
Oh, God. All right, and we're going to leave with that. Later on the week, we're talking about TV shows, so feel free to join us. And until then, enjoy the rest of your week. My name is Ashton. That's Jake. We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.